Welcome to God's Acre on the Go, a worship podcast of the Congregational Church of New Canaan in New Canaan, Connecticut. To learn about the life of our church, our in-person ministries, and the virtual connections and offerings available, please visit us at www.godsacre.org. Now, wherever you are, wherever you are going, we welcome you to worship.
Church family, good morning. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to God's Acre on the Go, wherever you happen to be, wherever you're traveling, whatever you're doing today. We thank you that you've chosen to pause for a moment and join us for worship through this podcast. We're glad to have you here. Today's a special day in the life of our church on God's Acre, however, and I just want you to connect with that. This Sunday morning, we will have two infant baptisms, two adult baptisms, and 30 new members joining our church. This is our third membership class this year. The influx of new members has been extraordinary. We'll have somewhere over 70 new members this year, and that's just something to give glory to God for and just behold. And so even though you're connected with us virtually on this day, I want you to know what's going on here on the ground, on God's Acre, through the grace of the Holy Spirit. Today, we're going to focus on the call of Abram, a story that I've meditated upon and preached on quite a bit, but it's the one that we turn to today. And I'm going to ask you just to prepare your hearts and minds for the word that the Lord wants to offer you today as we listen to our anthem. And this is from my dear friend, Daniel Carmo. So grateful that he allows us to use his music for this podcast. He is my friend from the banks of the Sea of Galilee. He sings in Hebrew and in English, believing that everyone's going to need to know a little Hebrew in the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. So prepare yourself for worship this morning.
Ur ha'olam sheyarad el achoshet pakachta enay be'orcha yofi vechen lelibi hakamea lichyot lanetzach letzidcha. Hareni lefanecha, mishtachavelecha, ure bekolata, Adonai. Ata kol kach yafeli, ata kol kach raui, ata kol kach nifla, lechaya. King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for love's sake became upon the cross. Hareni lefanecha, shtachavelecha,
So, church family, we are looking at the story of the call of Abram, but it actually starts just a little bit earlier than the 12th chapter. So we're looking in Genesis chapter 11, starting with verse 31, and it says, Terah, who is Abram's father, Terah took his son Abram and his grandson Lot of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, his son Abram's wife, and they went together from Ur of the Chaldeans to go into the land of Canaan. But when they came into Haran, and that's in modern-day Turkey, when they came to Haran, so they were halfway there, they settled there. It says, now, the Lord said to Abram, after Terah's death, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to a land that I will show you. That's important, a land I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Somehow, Abraham's movement will wind up blessing all of creation. So it says, Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram took his wife Sarai and his brother's son Lot and all the possessions that they'd gathered and the persons whom they had acquired in Haran, and they set forth to go to the land of Canaan. Now, when they'd come to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At the time, the Canaanites were in the land. And the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring, I will give this land. So Abram built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there, he moved on. So he didn't stay there. He moved on to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and invoked the name of the Lord. And then Abram journeyed on by stages toward the Negev, which is the Negev desert south of Jerusalem. And then it says, now there was a famine in the land, because of course there is in a desert. So Abram went down to the land of Egypt to reside there as an alien, for the famine was great in the land. So Abram gets to see the land of Canaan and then has to move right through it. But later on, and I love this, God brings Abram back to view the land again. And God says to Abram, raise your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land that you see, I will give to you and your offspring forever. And there's an additional promise that God will make Abram's offspring as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. So the word of God for the people of God. Let's pray together. Lord God, this ancient story can speak to us today, but only if your spirit finds a way to connect these words to our lives. So we ask for that blessing in this time. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. So I don't know if you remember this, but back in March, I preached a sermon about the Holy Spirit kind of at work in the world, and it was on Youth Sunday, so it's going back a few weeks. And I mentioned that while the Spirit was moving on our mission trip in San Antonio, a revival, a spirited revival, was taking place on a campus of Asbury University in Kentucky. It was a revival that led to 2 weeks of nonstop worship and this overwhelming experience of the Holy Spirit that brought those students a sense of peace, a sense of calm, a sense of unity that they had really desperately craved. Now, I pointed out in that message that even though our kids long for that kind of break from anxiety in their own lives, because of Asbury University's poor national ranking, it's ranked 565 in national colleges and universities. Because of that, we would never allow our kids to apply to that school. nor would our kids proudly wear a sweatshirt from the university if they got in. So we wouldn't allow them to enter into a place that is offering exactly what they need. Now, to my delight, 2 weeks ago, two of our newest members as of this day, Brother Frame and Brother Quinn, were in our balcony proudly sporting Asbury University sweatshirts, and they blessedly got me one too. It was kind of a playful reminder that if the Holy Spirit can show up at Asbury University, guess what? Maybe the Holy Spirit can show up here in New Canaan as well. Now, the point of my message was because of how we choose to live, because of what we tend to value, and where we often focus or fail to focus our attention, we often miss the Spirit of God at work in the world. And as a result, we can kind of miss the purpose and passion for life God is often trying to call us into. Now, I was talking to an educator who's a leader in our denomination during Holy Week, and we were talking about the students that are in her charge and how they were faring. And I asked this friend, who I really admire, I've respected for a long, long time, I asked her if she and her students had seen the new movie Jesus Revolution. And I went on to say it's kind of interesting that that movie was released roughly at the same time as the revival on Asbury's campus. She then asked me, what revival? And then she said she hadn't heard of the movie. And I said to my friend, whose name I will withhold, I kind of blurted out, I said, you got to be kidding me. I mean, this is like national news. I mean, everyone's taking notice of this. How could a Christian seminary educator not know about these happenings? But the truth is, we all miss things that are important. In fact, we too often miss the Spirit of God working all around us. Our patterns, our place, our perspectives can be a real barrier to our vision. We all, each and every one of us, you and me, we have blind spots that prevent us from seeing the grand and wondrous possibilities that God wants us to envision for ourselves and our world. Now, I believe, as I said, that I've read, thought about, preached on the call of Abram probably more than any passage of Scripture in the Bible. And it's an important moment because it's the moment when Scripture shifts from kind of mythical origin stories, you know, Noah and the Ark and Adam and Eve and all that, to something resembling a more historical account of humanity's walk with God. Now, there are a few features of the story that I've always tried to draw people's attention to. And the first one is that according to this story, Abram's father, Terah, was called to Canaan, right? I mean, we read that together. Terah wanted to take the family from Ur of the Chaldeans all the way through Turkey to the land of Canaan, but he stopped halfway and he settled in Haran, which means Terah settled short of his destination. And I wonder if the blessing that God winds up promising to Abram was first offered to his father, Terah. But Terah settled. He settled for less than he was called to. I wonder about that because I think that happens to us, right? Like we sometimes settle for less than the Lord desires for us. We settle even for a good life when God is calling us to a grand and exceedingly impactful existence. Now, settling isn't bad. There are good reasons to remain rooted. But you know, sometimes our settling tendencies get in the way of God's plan for us. Now, the second notable feature of the story that I really want to highlight today is that God says to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to a land that I will show you, right? Show you. God doesn't promise to give Abram anything. No, not exactly. God just wanted to show Abram something. So this isn't a moment of promised possession, but it's an invitation into a vision for the future of the world that Abram can be a part of if he is willing to accompany the Lord. Now, you know, this is very in keeping with Jesus' ministry. You may remember Jesus was kind of in the vision business too, allowing people to see that which previously they were unable to witness for themselves. Now, the final observation I often highlight in this text is Abram's age. Abram was 75 when God called him into service. I need you to know this, and I've said this before. The Bible does not affirm the imagined or the idealized American notion of retirement. People of faith are never put out to pasture. In fact, our best and most important work might begin much later in life. When you think you might be done, it's very possible the Lord is just getting started with you. And I'll tell you, if ever there was a couple who might have felt done, absolutely done, it could have very well been Abram and Sarai. They were this wealthy couple in their 70s living in a land that was not their homeland. They had no children, which meant that their inheritance would be passed on to one of their servants. And according to Scripture, the leading candidate was Eliezer of Damascus. So after a long and hard life, Abram and Sarai were probably ready to just kind of ease into retirement, kind of eventually pass from this life to be gathered to their ancestors, which is the way the Old Testament often refers to death. But then, in the dark of the night, or from the depths of the soul, or wherever or however it is that the still small voice of God gets our attention and speaks to us, God said to Abram, "You're not done. There is greater life before you than behind you. There is a legacy that is as expansive as the stars of heaven and the grains of sand on the seashore. If you are willing to venture forth, Abram, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." I mean, that's amazing, right? This old couple will be a blessing to the entire world. And the goodness and knowledge of God has passed through Abram and Sarai to their descendants. They are the parents. Abram is the father of three great faith traditions, the Jews, the Christians, the Muslims. And if you calculate the number of all the Jews and Christians and Muslims today who know God and are acquainted with the Lord's blessing, that's 4.6 billion people. I mean, if those numbers are mind-boggling for us today, how could Abram and Sarai ever imagine, ever envisioned it for themselves? Well, the answer is there's no way. That kind of expansive vision and immeasurable possibility comes from God. It doesn't come from us. It's what Jesus said. What is impossible for mortals is possible for God. Now, perhaps you're listening politely and yet you're not holding a shred of belief that God created you and called you in ways where your life and your living would be a blessing and benefit to others on any measurable scale. You can't see it. You don't have that kind of vision for your life right now. In fact, you might be saying, you know, I don't have time. I don't have time to think about much of anything other than just kind of making it through the day in one piece. Or, you know, I just lost my job, or I've lost an important relationship, or I've lost my confidence. And I can't see past the hardship of this present moment. Or maybe you're saying, I'm just too old. I'm too old for something new and grand. But here's the thing. We are inheritors of Abraham's covenant with God. We are heirs to that extraordinary promise. We are part of God's grand vision for the world. You were birthed into the created order for a purpose, to enjoy God's goodness yourself, and for your life to be a blessing and benefit to others. Nothing less than that, nothing less than that is God's intention for you. And if you can't see it, if you can't sense it, then perhaps there is something obscuring your vision, because that happens. You know, you can't see what God wants you to see from your current vantage point. Your patterns, your place, your perspective are somehow prohibiting you from being able to witness the promises God has in store for you and others because of you. Now, there are people who believe that to get to where God wants you to go, to truly and finally be the person God intends you to be, you have to make some grand leap of faith, you know. And there is that story in the Gospels of a rich man approaching Jesus and asking him what he needed to do to inherit eternal life. You remember that. The end of the story has Jesus saying, "Go, sell all that you own, give the money to the poor, and then come follow me," which it turned out the man couldn't do any more than we could, right? But here's the thing. If you watch or listen to the story that we just read together, Abram didn't leave everything behind to enter into the promised life God had in store for him, right? It said Abram took his wife Sarai and his brother's sons Lot and all the possessions that they'd gathered, and they set forth to go to the land of Canaan. Abram didn't have to release everything in his hand to take hold of the blessing God had in store for him. Abraham didn't have to take some wild leap of faith to follow the Lord. No. Abraham just had to be willing to take a trip. You know, not even necessarily relocate, but take a trip. God wanted Abraham to move, so Abram needed to be willing to. You know, Abram had to be willing to adjust his perspective. God wanted to show Abram something extraordinary. All Abram had to do was venture forth in the direction God wanted to lead. You know, to see, to behold, to catch the vision of God for our lives, for our life together, what could be more extraordinary than that? You know, my seminary teacher friend might have missed news of both the revival at Asbury University and the movie Jesus Revolution, but I didn't. But not, no thanks to myself. A number of you who regularly reach out to me when anything religious makes the news, you let me know. In fact, our senior deacon, Deanna Carlson, pointed me in the direction of this movie, Jesus Revolution. And I'm grateful. A few weeks ago, I sat alone in a movie theater in Norwalk to watch it, and I was moved like I've not been moved by a film in ages. Jesus Revolution is a story of the Jesus movement within the hippie movement of the late 60s and 70s. It's a true story, kind of speaks about the birth of the Calvary, the Vineyard, and the Harvest churches. And in the movie, there's this scene where Kelsey Grammer, who portrays Pastor Chuck Smith, Kelsey Grammer captures the emotion of seeing the Holy Spirit at work in the lives of others, of seeing what God wanted to show him. And it so wonderfully expresses, I got to say this, so wonderfully expresses the great desire of my life and ministry. It's what I desire most as a pastor and a person of faith, to see what God is doing in the world. So the scene begins in the hallway of Chuck and Kay Smith's home. The charismatic hippie preacher Lonnie Frisbee's kind of taken up residence in their house, and there's hippies living inside and outside the home, and Chuck and Kay decide, you know, it's time to ask them to leave. Now, you can watch the movie on your own and the scene for yourself, but after some awkward introductions, Lonnie has Chuck sit down. He's still in his PJs. He has Chuck sit down in his own living room to listen to a folk band that Lonnie met at a local coffee shop and invited in. Now, as Chuck listens and watches all the young people gathered in his house kind of getting swept up in this new music about Jesus, the emotional transition on Kelsey Grammer's face is extraordinary. From curmudgeonly acceptance of the inconvenience, to genuine curiosity about what's happening, to kind of then a wave of both surprise and awe, and then finally, to overwhelming joy-filled tears and laughter. I have watched that scene, 2 minutes, that scene dozens of times, and it doesn't cease to move me. It's such a wonderful expression of the unexpected and unbounded joy that can be experienced when you allow yourself to be led into a new venture of faith that God's calling you to. To see God at work, to witness the movement of the Holy Spirit, to catch a vision for your life that you could have never imagined for yourself. There is no joy greater than that. And each and every one of us is invited by our Lord into our very own blessed venture of faith. A journey toward a joy you can't even imagine for yourself until you see it with your own eyes. You don't need to leave everything and everyone you hold dear behind in order to venture forth with the Lord, but you do likely need to untether yourself from some patterns of living that you're stuck in, or the places you too comfortably call home. You might need to separate from some of the perspectives of life and living that you tend to cling to more tenaciously than your own faith. So here's just a little Abrahamic advice for your journeys. First, don't settle for less than God is calling you to. Don't do that. Don't think small. And then second, don't miss going to see what the Lord desires to show you. You may not need to permanently relocate, but take the trip that's on your heart. And then don't you dare believe you're too old for the Spirit to empower you to your very best and most important work. As was the case for Abram and Sarai and so many people of faith recorded in the Bible, has proved true for some hippies in California and a poorly ranked university in Kentucky, nothing is impossible with God. The best of this life and the best of the life that is to come is experienced when we dare to venture forth with our Lord. Let's pray. Lord God, we have so much going on in our lives, good and bad, that we often get distracted. We aren't particularly focused on the present, where you exist and where you desire to connect and communicate with us. So open our eyes to see, open our ears to hear, so that we might have a sense of where you want us to go and who you want us to be. For Lord God, we need you to enter in and call to us and call us forth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, church family, as you enter into a new week, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with kindness and give you peace now and forevermore. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Worship on the Go. To support this podcast and the ministries of our church, please consider making a contribution by clicking the Give button in the top right on our website, www.godsacre.org, or within today's email. God bless you and have a wonderful week.